Tonight, we ask you to guide and direct not only your Holy Spirit and your word, but you would help us with our thoughts and our understanding, that you would give us perception for these last days, and confidence and boldness, and to walk in that, Lord, versus to walk in fear and doubt. And so we just pray for that, Lord. Accomplish all of your will tonight. We give you this time. We want you to lead this study and this session, Lord. Take it to wherever you want it to go. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so 2 Thessalonians 2. Now, I want to start with a question. And this requires that interaction from you guys. What does it mean to you to have a biblical worldview? What does that mean?
Just kidding.
What do you got? What do you think? What's a biblical worldview?
Trusting in the Word of God.
Okay, trusting in the Word of God. Okay. It's, did you have a?
Seeing the world through the eyes of the Bible.
Exactly. It's like putting on goggles to understand things happening around us and why they happen the way they do or when they do. Yeah, they're not beer goggles, but it may appear to have some, at least water in the goggles itself. But anyway, so we got to have a solid world, a biblical worldview as to what's coming. And so if you don't have that, or if you struggle with things that are happening in our world, some of the basic things, you're going to struggle with what's coming. And so we don't want that for you. We want you to have faith and carry on until the Lord comes and gets us. So, but it's having a biblical worldview is how we should interpret things from a truth standpoint, because the Word is the truth. And Jesus told us that in the last days leading up to his second coming, that there would be deception from people from all areas. And man, are we seeing it now. You know, with our leaders in the church, I'm sure all of you have followed some of the Epstein files and all of that. And we'll talk a little bit more about that later. But you need to really get grounded and founded in your Word, because someone's going to come to you and say, "What do you make of all this?" And you're going to need to have answers for them. And to just blow them off, you just lost an opportunity to snatch somebody from the gates of hell. And so it's going to be very important for y'all to really and be on the lookout, because this thing's coming faster than we all want. I mean, what's coming? I want the Lord today.
I would dare say that most people who come on a Wednesday night, number one, do possess a biblical worldview to varying degrees. The fact is we're all on a learning curve somewhere. You know, there's people ahead of us and there's people behind us. The thing I think the Buzz is really trying to emphasize is that we're at a point in time right now with things happening, and because every bit of prophetic prophecy that was spoken of is in play right now. It's either going on, or it's lining up, or it's, I mean, the alliances are being made. There's things happening right now to where, you know, if I have a big biblical worldview, that's a good thing. Am I up to par? Do I know... When I'm reading this, do I see things happening in the world that I can take what's going on out there and take what's going on here and go, oh yeah, I see that being put together? And I think that's kind of what Buzz is trying to stress, is that you know, sharpen your blade. Mm-hmm. That's what he's saying. He's, you know, get your blade sharp in what God tells us. I have a friend I was talking with the last night, and he goes, "Did you see the State of the Union?" And I said, "No, I was watching U of A basketball." But I told him, I said, you know, I'm not following politics. I mean, I keep my finger in the water. But I'm at a point now where to know what's going to be going on in the world, I'm more interested in reading about it in here. Because what I see happen, what I'm seeing talk about in here is coming to pass out there. And as you listen and watch, you're going to see that happening. And so that's why I think Buzz is saying it's important. And he's saying this from a heart of concern and care and love. Mm-hmm. So...
Amen. So I've been feeling this pressure for several months about this particular topic, and I sent a text to my son a couple of weeks ago, and I said to him, over the next several months, run all information that comes from this world through a biblical worldview. There is a strong delusion about to start. It's beyond started. It's out the gate and gone. But that may affect people who have a weak faith. Stay on guard. The scriptures are the truth. Whatever you see, don't believe it. The way of the world, or don't believe it the way the world interprets it. Whatever you hear, remember the words of the Bible. Get your wife on board with a biblical worldview. We're almost home. Hang in there. And so we should all feel pressured to pass that on to our kids and to our neighbors and whoever will hear it. Because, again, this is going to rock the world, what's coming. So in 2 Thessalonians 1 and 2, Paul writes, and again, this is the second letter, and he's having to address a deceptive teaching already relating to our being gathered to the Lord and his coming. And he says, "Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or word or letter or by event or by rumor or what comes across YouTube or so on and so forth." Okay? And so, as though the day of Christ had already come, let no one, notice it says let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition. Now, I don't want to get off track here. This is talking about the rapture, but it's also talking about other things too. It's talking about the Antichrist coming. And I am a firm believer, we're not going to know who it is. I got a strong hunch, but we're not going to know. We're not going to be here. We have to go before he comes on the scene. It is done. I don't even debate it anymore. I won't debate it. It's finished in my mind. So, but here's the thing. Shaken in mind, that means to become emotionally and intellectually unsettled or distraught. For us as Christians, there isn't any kind of news that should shake us to the core. The Bible, Paul said, stand. And when there's nothing else to do, stand still. And so that's what we need to do. You might not be able to explain to somebody why you're standing, other than the fact that you just trusted Jesus, but you need to learn to stand and not blow with the wind. And so we should never get shaken. We can be saddened by news, but it shouldn't shake our faith. And that's what he's talking about. And the Thessalonians had been shook by what rumors had, or what letter had supposedly come from Paul. Now, that word trouble means to be in a state of fear. Phobos is the actual word, phobia, associated with surprise, to be startled, to be shocked. Again, with what's coming, we shouldn't be shocked by any of this, because the Bible's been telling us for 2,000 and probably 4,000 years, it's been telling us that this is coming. It's no new news. It's old stuff. And so there's nothing new under the sun. Amen? Mm-hmm. So what has happened will happen again. And we're going to look at that tonight. So, again, that's the other purpose here, is so that whatever comes down the pike, whatever you see on the news, whatever the president says or a dictator says or whoever talks or whatever you see on the news, you cannot trust it, because it's likely a deception, strong deception, okay? And it shouldn't rattle us. We just, the next day, next step, so on, and keep walking. But it's going to shake those who have a weak faith, who are sitting on the fence, okay? They're almost committed to Christ, They look like a Christian. And there's a lot of Christians who've been to churches for years, and they're still on the fence. It's going to shake those folks off the fence, I guarantee you. And they're going to fall one side or the other, okay? And so we either need to be there to help them back up on their feet once they come across this information, or at least be able to explain it from a biblical worldview. And so moving on. So we shouldn't be shaken or troubled. afraid, emotionally distraught, okay? We're to walk by faith, not by emotions, amen?
Amen.
Okay, so there is a great deception about to be broadcasted, all right? I'm sure how many of you heard that President Trump is going to talk about the alien disclosure, okay? It's all over the place. Yeah. And ex-president, not my president, but one of the previous presidents just the other day said that he says there's definitely aliens. Okay, well, he...
And when he said that, the current president said the ex-president just gave out classified material.
Yeah, so he should be under arrest. But that's what they're talking about. And this is part of the strong delusion that's coming. Okay? And so it shouldn't shake us. And we shouldn't blow it off either. Oh, it's nothing. Don't believe it. It's all just smoke and mirrors. No, some of it's real. Okay? And it's going to get more real. And as we get closer to the tribulation, we're going to see how crazy it's going to get. And it's going to get 100-fold crazier than what it is today. So for those that get left behind, they need to have information that you might be able to share with them about the truth, okay? And so I'm going to ask you a question. I'd like an answer from the crowd here. Do we allow ourselves to be deceived, yes or no?
No.
You shouldn't, but you know what? You can. You can. You're a part of self-deception. When you deceive yourself, you can do it yourself, on yourself. Does that make sense? I'm gonna read to some things here in a minute. But if you go back to Genesis 3:6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good, in other words, she saw, oh, it is. By the way, Satan, it is beautiful. You're right. It's so wonderful to look at or to see. Okay, and then from there. And a tree desirable to make one wise. And so she took of its fruit and she ate. And the story is over for her and in the garden. Okay, it's for all of us. Okay? Satan used her eyes, not only her physical eyes, but he used her intellect. And if you do a Bible study on eyes throughout Scripture, it's either talking about your real eyes, the ones that see light, and it also is a reference to your intellect. And so Satan wants you to start thinking about things from his perspective, which is a deception. Eve got deceived. Adam transgressed. Okay? And so we've ended up in this situation for 6,000 years now, dragging this dead body around with us. And I'm really getting tired of it myself. But we're going to hopefully move on before all of this. But the fact of the matter is that Satan just opened the door to the deception. Okay? She had the truth the whole time. But she allowed herself to reason things out in her own mind instead of running to her head, who was her husband, Adam, and saying, hey, you know, I had this person talk to me about this. What do you say? Well, the Lord said, you know, she didn't give him that opportunity. She made the decision herself. Okay, do you want to say something?
I was just going to say, you know what I think is important for us to keep in mind here, too, when we consider this, what happened in the garden. The Word tells us it was the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life.
Amen.
And I will tell you, those are the three plays, the only three plays in his playbook, and they haven't changed.
No, they haven't had to.
He does the same thing today with you and me when he wants to try and, you know, throw some bait out there at us. It's going to be the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. It's going to be one or more of those three things,
yes,
that he comes at us with. So keep that in mind when you see things going on, when you're tempted to, you know, to begin to think, well, maybe this, that, or, you know, no. Stay in the Word. Just stay with what the Word tells you. God gives us the Word for a reason so that we know what's going to happen. That way, when it does happen, our faith is strengthened, and we're able to share with people who don't know and don't understand, and they can begin to come to faith.
Right. And so there is a script. I think Paul wrote it or said it, but he said, we should not think beyond what is written.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there's a lot written about this. So we can go to the scriptures on this stuff. But as it relates to, is there, you know, did God create other creatures, you know, in other galaxies? You know what? I don't know. The scriptures don't address that. But I do know this one thing. When Eve and Adam both fell, Jesus Christ came to this planet to save us.
Right.
Okay, so if there is other, that none of that stuff matters to me. But there are other beings that he did create that we do know about. One that we know about, one that he created, and one that fallen angels created. Okay, now, the answer to that question that I ask you is absolutely yes. This is a paradox, and I'm reading what some scholar wrote. He says, the paradox lies at the heart of human self-deception. We naturally resist being deceived, yet we actively participate in our own deceptions by surrounding ourselves with ideas and teachers that align with what we already want to believe, you see. And I find myself doing that from even in my Christian perspective, is I'm only going to listen to good teachers, right? I'm going to filter out the bad, and I'm going to stick with, but they do it to the point of self-deception. And so we should always be willing to dialogue with people who don't believe like we believe. You may not have all the answers, but you know what you can tell them is, hey, you know what? I don't know the answer to that, but I'll go get you one. Let's talk tomorrow, and I'll have an answer for you. You know, I've done that a couple of times early on in my witness. Did you have
something? No, I'm just...
So we do participate in our own self-deception. So we have to guard ourselves from falling into that trap, because that's exactly what Eve did. And if you think you're smarter than Satan, you're not. Neither am I. And so there's times when we can get the rug pulled out from under us and go, oh my gosh, he got me. You know. And I don't want that to happen to anybody as we get closer to what's going to happen. So the mechanism is subtle. The self-deception thing is subtle. Rather than attending to truth, we allow disordered desires to cloud our judgment, a condition Augustine calls weakness of will. Even while claiming we don't wish to be deceived, we simultaneously crave concealment from what would constitute genuine happiness. This creates a peculiar blindness. We become unable to recognize our own self-deceptiveness. And you see this a lot right now with parents who have homosexual children. Okay, they love the Lord. They grow up Christian. They teach their kids. Their Christians get deceived. They become homosexuals, and now the parents think, well, if I totally reject them, then they'll never have a chance. The Lord will never give them another opportunity or whatever. And so they start to buy into this belief system, which is destructive. And then they basically jump in the same hole that they're in to try to rescue them. And now they get so far deep, they end up loving their kids more than they would love the Lord. And so that's a struggle, and it's an unfortunate one. But you shouldn't jump in that same ditch. You're to stay outside the ditch.
And I agree 100% with what you're saying. I wouldn't globalize it, however, because I have known some parents with homosexual children who they draw the line. I mean, they right. They love them with all their heart, you know what I mean? They love these kids, and how could you not love your kid? I mean, it would be the same as if your kid went out and murdered somebody. It would be the same as if some terrible sin happened. That doesn't make you stop loving them,
right?
Just because they're involved and steeped in sin.
I had a gay brother, and every time I talked to him, I gave him the gospel message. On his deathbed, he would never talk to me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, the Lord comes first.
Amen.
I've got a gay daughter, got a gay nephew, a gay uncle.
Yeah. It's ubiquitous. It's all over the place. I mean, so what you're saying is correct. And I've seen that, too. I've seen parents who are like, well, you know, we have to keep loving them and affirming. No, you do not affirm that lifestyle.
Exactly.
Absolutely not.
No. You can love them without
exactly.
calling them.
Exactly. And that's kind of the... I just want to make sure that...
Yeah, good point. So 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 5, Paul tells us this, and he's talking to another upcoming pastor. He said, for the time will come, this is prophecy, when they will no longer endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. That's what I'm trying to do here tonight. And so is to fulfill my ministry to you as sheep that belong to the Lord. So we do sometimes allow ourselves, we let ourselves become deceived because it meets certain desires in our heart. Nobody wants to see their child go to hell because, of their choice and lifestyle.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is that if you can't just boot them and let them go. That's when you start buckling down, start praying and loving them right where they're at, because that's what Jesus did for each one of us. Because he loved us right where we're,
and that,
where we're
if,
at.
If anybody's dealing with that, an old wise pastor one time said, he said, you accomplish a lot more talking to God about people than you do talking to people about God. He said, and to me, that elevates the importance of praying for.
And that takes me on a side note. We had a gal here at the church years ago. She hasn't been here. I have no idea where she's at now. But this is 15, 20 years ago. And she came out of that lifestyle. And she confided in me. And she said, you know, she goes, I'd really like to share what God has done in my life with some of the ladies here at this church. But because of the kind of sin that I was involved in, I'm afraid that I will be mocked or nobody will talk to me and this and that, you know. And it broke my heart that she felt like she couldn't come out and give her testimony of how she came out of that lifestyle and is now glorifying God with her life versus doing her own selfish thing. And I thought, man, what a lost opportunity. So I hope that if you find people, it's the same thing with abortion. You know, we need to be sensitive to mothers who have actually done that. It's not the unpardonable sin.
They're victims too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And so they bought off on some deception, right? It's not a real baby. It's this and that
right, and so on.
So it's all another topic for another night. But the point is that we oftentimes allow ourselves to be deceived. Now, going back to verse 3, it says, let no one deceive you by any means. It doesn't matter what the means are. Don't let yourself be deceived. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. And so... just to snip that, again, the Antichrist can't show up. This guy can't show up until we're out. And that's why I'm so pressured right now to get this message out, because if we see, you know, an alien show up, a supposed alien show up at the presidential White House and he's interviewing all these interviews and news programs, you know, I just hope we're out of here. But he can't come until we're gone. So there's a strong deception coming. And in verse 7, it says, for the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will come and be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his second coming. Okay? And so the coming of the lawless one is according to the working. Now this is an important verse here. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders. Deception. Power. Now, that word is dunamos. It's the same word that we get from the Holy Spirit, power. And from my fire service stint is that I used to use the jaws of life. And I've seen explosions. And yes, they are powerful, but they don't usually rescue lives. The jaws of life have this constant hydraulic power, and I've seen it bend metal like you wouldn't believe. But it's constant pressure. And right now, there's a constant pressure on the world to accept this concept of aliens from other galaxies and so on and so forth. It's going to get even more intense the closer we get to the tribulation or the rapture.
Hey, Steve, you got a question?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Kind of skipped over something really quick, which the falling away. I've Mary and I have been to a lot of conferences, and a lot of scholars believe that means the rapture.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in that camp.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
Yeah.
No. But it's worth discussion on, because the other only other place it's used is in the book of Acts, and it was about Paul leaving Moses behind, and so it is a departure.
Right, right.
But yeah. there's actually
a dual application.
Yeah. Yes.
To that phrase, one is people falling away from sound doctrine, and that applies.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other is falling off the planet. You're gone. You fell away. We're out of here.
Yeah.
And actually, the way I look at it, both of those have equal application in the time we're living in right now, because sound doctrine's out the window in most places.
Yeah.
But the falling away is the one. I'm in the camp. I'm like, that's the falling away I'm really waiting for. I always knew there was going to be a falling
departure.
Away.
Departure.
Yeah. So
physical departure.
Yeah, you kind of went right past it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard one pastor, an older Calvary pastor, define it as a radical departure. And believe me, the rapture is going to be a radical departure.
But I think it's interesting enough in the topic we're talking about tonight that this, what's coming, may cause a rebellion, a falling away, you see. I think the Holy Spirit has left it in there as is to get a much broader picture of what's going on. And so, but I want to get back to this verse where it's all about deception and power. Now, the word signs in verse 9, and this is in the Greek, it's an event which is regarded as having some special meaning. And then later it says lying wonders at the end of that verse. And that is, that word lying wonders has the word pseudo in it, fake, right? So fake, and fake wonders are coming. And a wonder is an unusual sign, especially one in the heavens, serving to foretell impending events. We just had three iatlas go through. What a big bunch of garbage that was.
Yeah.
But it sure had everybody talking. Okay, it's part of the deception. Well, what do you think about it? Could it be space aliens in that thing? You know, they're still hoping that there's something in it. It's going to come out here within the next couple of months.
It's supposed to come back, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, it's going to go.
What is it?
Three Eye Atlas. Is it a comet?
Yeah, it's supposed to be a comet, like a big comet.
Yeah.
But there was one scientist from Brazil or whoever, he says, no, this is definitely an alien spaceship.
Yeah.
And then they would describe, if you read certain things, they have descriptions that it's not acting like a comet. There was water coming off of it. At one point, they said it stopped for like 45 minutes, and changed shape and got bigger, and then it took off again. So,
they're finding every excuse to get us swayed over to the fact that whoever's coming in the future is someone from another galaxy far away.
Did you ever read or hear Chuck Missler talk, and he would talk about dimensions,
mm-hmm. right,
and how?
Right.
They can go through different dimensions.
Sure.
So the people that see these UFOs, they would see something and go, beep, beep,
yep.
You know, and they'd say, well, regular things can't make a 90-degree turn like that.
Right.
So it's because it's a demon.
Well, it is.
Entering and going in and out of
People are seeing things.
I mean, yeah.
My pastor in Tucson one time, there's during a monsoon season, he's sitting at Oracle and Ina or something, he and his son in the truck, and there's clouds and they're waiting at the light, and all of a sudden there's this cigar-shaped deal sitting in the air floating above them. And they're looking at each other like, you see that? Yep, you see that? Okay, they don't talk about it. They went home, and he told his son, go in the bedroom and draw a picture of what you saw. So his son comes out, and it's exactly what he saw. But the thing went back in the clouds and was gone. You know, it's like,
right.
So people are seeing things. We're going to see things. We're going to see. Right, exactly.
Oh, man, we're running out of time. Okay, so everything that... What's that?
We have nothing but time.
Okay, so this wonder that's coming, or the wonders that are coming, are from the sky. Well, we can't hardly watch a show anymore where someone's saying, did you look at this video, and they show all these... And there's something happening in the skies. It's everywhere. It's not just over Mexico City. It's not. It's everywhere, worldwide. And so it's part of the delusion. Okay, the real question. You know, well, we'll get to that. So, what's been happening all over the planet in recent years and in increasing numbers is very good witnesses and video, by the way, showing solid objects moving in unreasonable manners. So either A, we're seeing things from another dimension, or it's actually something physical. And I think it's both. Okay? It's fallen angel technology. Okay? That's what it is. And they are specifically giving, and that's what happened in the first, or the second alien invasion we had on Earth. And we'll get to that here in a second. But so all this UAP, UFO, the hype with 3AI or 3I Atlas, et cetera, is all part of the delusion. And people are going to be saying, "Hey, did you see that? What do you think? Is it demons? Is it you know, our brothers in space someplace? You know?" And you need to have an answer for that to your kids, to your neighbors, to whoever. So Matthew 24:36, Jesus said, "But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be." So we have to go back to Genesis 6, and we'll look at that right now. So turn there. What was happening in Noah's day? Okay. Now, there's a qualifier to a degree beyond this, where it says that there were people eating and drinking and life was going on as normal. But if you know anything about what happened in the days of Noah, there was nothing normal in the days of Noah. Okay? So let's look at Genesis 6, starting in verse 1. "Now it came to pass," and again, this is before the flood, "when men began to multiply in the face of the earth and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown." Now, sons of God, when you look at that phrase, there's a few places where it's mistranslated, for sure, but that phrase always means angels.
The Hebrew is B'nai Elohim.
Yes.
And every time in the Old Testament that B'nai Elohim is used, it means angels.
Yes. So you heard it from me right here. Angels fell from heaven. They left heaven. Jude says they left their proper domain.
Yep.
Okay, that's in Jude. Okay, he's quoting something from Enoch's books. And if you're not familiar with those, that's okay. Right now I'll tell you I am. And so what happened in those days of Noah is that there was a rebellion in heaven where we don't know how the exact number, but Enoch puts it at 200 angels fell from heaven. They left heaven. They left their proper position in God's kingdom to come to earth to have children who would have dominion over the earth. Well, they got their way. That was never God's intent. He never intended for that to happen, but he knew it would before it even happened. But here's the deal, is that they had to abide by the laws of the universe, essentially, or by God, and they had to do a trade with the fathers. And this is, you'll find this in the first book of Enoch, where they bartered with the fathers.
Which is non-canonical.
Yeah, it's not scripture. Let's be clear about that. However, scripture quotes the book. So you have to be really careful with it. There's missing parts to it. You can't trust it as a whole. That's why it didn't make it into the canon. But the reality is that the Jews believed this in the first and second temple period. And they believed that there was 200 angels that came down from Mount Hermon, and they chose women to be their wives to produce these hybrid children. Okay? And the Bible tells us there were giants that came from this. union. And you're like, there's all kinds of questions right there. All right, wait a second. You know, I thought angels didn't have all the, you know, gears and wheels and equipment to do that. It's not what the scripture says. The scripture says that the angels who are in heaven don't marry.
Don't marry.
Yeah. These angels left their proper position in God's kingdom, and they purposely took wives so that they could have a hybrid human who would have dominion over Adam and his race, and they had dominion. And they had so much dominion, they became giants, and I'm not going to even talk to you about how big they were. It's ridiculous to even go there, but, I mean, I believe it. But the reality is that they gave technology to their fathers in order to have wives. They had to pay a dowry, okay? And so it was technology. They brought angel technology into Earth, and that's when you find now all of a sudden there's implements for war and all kinds of metallurgy and all
this stuff. Egyptians have ancient batteries?
Yeah.
I mean,
ancient technology.
Yeah.
Okay, so look at our day. What is in the news every day?
AI.
Artificial intelligence. And guess what? It can be manipulated by the spiritual realm, okay? And so some of the technology, you know, it can, you know, a hammer can be used to, you know, put a hole in your head or pound the nail and build a house, right? So technology itself is neither wicked or evil, but it's how we use it. Well, the enemy knows that they can use the AI technology. And if you, how many of you heard of transhumanism? You need to do your research, okay? The intent of a lot of the technology coming is for this purpose. It is to transition the human consciousness in at the point of death and place it in a robotic or computer, let's say, and you continue to exist for eternity, and that is without anything by God.
You can become gods without the word, is what?
Yeah.
Is anybody familiar with a guy named Yuval Noah Harari?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Yuval Noah Harari is a Jewish, atheistic, homosexual professor. He's written a number of books that are huge bestsellers. He now says human beings are hackable animals. The days of self-will, the days of these things are over. The vast majority of us are useless eaters, he calls us. And the guy's like, he's way whack, of course. Mm-hmm. But his plan, his goal, and he's a real big deal for the World Economic Forum and all these guys. His goal is to have a working class of human beings that are machine and human. But all they need to do is go to work and do their jobs. And so when Buzz says that we're the things that lead up to the return of Christ are going on now, that's what I'm saying. These things are happening now. And the vast majority of folks don't have. You had a little bit of an idea about some of it. I don't know everything about it, but I think it's important for us to become students of what's going on around us, because, and I'll end on this. One thing that got me a number of years ago, I got to reading a while back. Somebody asked me about the end times, that sort of thing. And when Jesus was on the mountain, on the Temple Mountain, the disciples were saying, look at these buildings, how gorgeous this is, beautiful. And he left, and he went down over the Mount of Olives, and Peter and Andrew, James and John came to him privately, and they finally figured out. They said, you're going away. I'm going away. But you're coming back. I'm coming back. He said, okay, tell us, when will these things be that you're talking about? Because he told them at that moment when they were talking about how beautiful it was, remember what he said? There's not one stone left standing here that will be standing. The temple, which took them, what, 50 years to build, roughly, right? Mm-hmm. What did that mean to the Jew, to tell them that the temple, all the stones would be done? It meant the end of the world, is what it meant at that time. So they came to him and said, okay, when's this happening? What's going on? He didn't answer that question. You remember what he said? He said, see, what?
Don't be deceived.
See that no man deceives you. That was it. That was his primary answer. See that no man deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying I am. And so what that said to me is the hallmark of the times right prior to the return of the Lord Jesus is going to be deception. Deception in things you see, deception in things you hear, deception in things you read, deception everywhere. And so this is why it's important for us to, like Buzz says, we had nothing to be scared of, right?
No.
Our future is secure, right? Not because of us, right? But why is our future secure?
Amen.
Because of what Jesus did. Exactly. Absolutely. Yes.
So when Satan fell, he took a third of the angels with him. So that means 200 angels were what he brought with him, or that's separate?
That's from the book of Enoch, and I wouldn't hang my...
Nobody's really sure when the 200 came along.
Yeah, my hat on the number.
So Satan was given the dominion
a third.
Over the world.
Yeah. Right.
So all of this makes sense.
Yeah.
That's my answer to people when they're just all confused, and I can't believe they did that. And I just repeatedly say exactly what I said. He's the ruler of this world, the father of all lies, and the master of deceit.
Right. But then you got demons. Now, where did demons come from?
Dominions of his.
Well, they are, but that's what the reason for the flood was to get rid of this hybrid human being who had become kings on earth, essentially. And they were eating everything up. They were resource hungry, and to the point where they began to eat human beings. That's according to tradition. What's out in the news right now? Epstein files. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the days when Jesus Christ comes back. So we're seeing it. These are all signs to us. Hey, wake up. It's getting ugly.
In Genesis 6 also, at the beginning, in verse 9, it says, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. In the Hebrew, that can be translated, Noah was a just man, complete in his genealogy. In other words, his line hadn't been corrupted by anyone.
Right, perfect DNA, human.
Is that amazing? I mean, does that blow you away? I'll tell you one other thing. It talks about in Daniel... I marked this because I wanted to. We're out of time, right? It's time to go? No?
It's up to you guys.
In Daniel, it speaks of when the Antichrist comes, not that we're going to be here, obviously, we're not going to be here. But it says, he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. And what that means is there's going to be an agreement or a covenant that's already existing. The Hebrew word and the Arabic word for that is the word machbir. And it means it's going to make it stronger. He's going to enforce it. He's going to make it the law of the land. He's going to make it overarching over everyone, over everything, right? Okay. Do you know on November 17th of just this past year, United Nations Resolution 2028 or something like that, there's an explanation of position before the vote on a U.S.-drafted U.N. Security Council resolution on the situation in the Middle East. This was November 17th, 2025, and the U.S. representative, Mike Waltz, went before the U.N. and said, we've got to pass this thing. And what he's talking about is we've got to pass President Trump's Board of Peace thing, right? Okay? And he goes through this whole thing. It's a long, you can read it if you want, but I mean, it's at the end of it, what gets me is he says, colleagues, the eyes of history and humanity are upon us right here, right now. A vote against this resolution is a vote to return to war. Time is not on the side of peace. This is not the time for endless debate and lawyering. The clock is ticking like a time bomb. So let us vote for this resolution not as a compromise, but as a covenant for the children of Gaza and for peace that endures in the Middle East reborn. And this thing was passed on November 17th. So here's a resolution the UN passed. I think... I forget the number of nations. Pardon me?
They met last week.
Yeah. The Board of Peace. They just met. So, what we have now, we have this thing that they passed, not as a resolution, but as a covenant. This covenant is in place. How fast are things happening? And if we're getting that close to having things set up for when the AC gets here, all he's got to do is step in and rubber stamp all this stuff, mm-hmm. How close are we to the rapture? How close are we to the falling away? I'm saying, the more you read, the more you dig into this stuff, you know, and the more exciting it is to me. You know, I've heard people say, "Oh, that's scary." I'm like, "Yeah, if you're not ready, it should be scary.
Right.
If you're not ready, you better be scared."
Yeah.
Because if you think, I've been telling my sons this for a long time. If you think things are bad now, be here after the rapture.
Yeah.
You know,
it's unimaginable. I mean, we just can't wrap our heads.
Not really to scare anyone, right? I mean, it's really to just make everyone aware of what's happening. because we're kind of commanded in 1 Peter to give an account, right? This stuff is happening. Friends are asking. I got coworkers that are like, what do you think about this, right? We got to be able to stand and give an account. We're commanded to do that. What is the hope that's in you? People are scared, right? We're not scared because we know, hey, we know where we're going to be. But we've got to be able to stand an account. We've got to be strong. And we got to be, you know, without sin in our lives, where we're repenting and being able to stand up, because people have, they want to know answers. And it could be our time to be able to, like Buzz was saying, to get that person from the gates of hell, right? To pull them up. And we got to be ready, because it's like excelling every single day, more and more. You know, and like what I see really happened was this whole thing with COVID. That was like the start of
how was
easy
a test.
Is it going to be to get the mark of the beast on people? How easy is that going to be for people to turn on their own family and brothers? I mean, it was just a medical situation. And families are still torn from it. People are torn.
Churches
are torn. Churches are torn. Communities are still torn from that. And you still see it in the social media. You know, people still, oh, I'm anti-vax. Oh, my gosh, you need to get vax. It's still an issue today. And that's just how it's going to keep escalating.
Yep.
But we got to be able to give an account, because we have hope, man. We have hope in us. We've got to be excited about this.
Yeah.
Yep. You shouldn't cringe at the discussion or balk from it or blow it off. I think that's the worst thing we could do at this stage of the game. We need to have answers. And they're all there for us. We just got to dig them out. So ultimately, though, man wants to live eternally by his own choice. Well, he's got to have that, right? Whether it's in a machine or in hell. But the fact of the matter is, man's attempt in this whole thing is to live eternally. Satan's attempt is to use it for power and control. Think Nimrod, time of Noah again. Okay, one man ruling the entire realm after the flood. And these where the demons come from are the dead giants from before the flood. Here's what I tell this little group that I have on Fridays, is when God says all died, you can bet all died. If a man in Scripture says all died, probably not, okay? God tells us all died. They all died. Well, how is it they came in after the flood? So there's a couple of theories, but here's the thing. Is that one way they could have come back through the flood was the wives of the sons of Noah through DNA. Okay, that's how giants were. Goliath, Og from...
Og of...
Wherever he's from.
Bashan.
Bashan, yeah. There was giants. Nimrod was a giant, okay? He became a Gibberim, a mighty man of power, physical. That's why when you see the story of Gilgamesh, you always see him sitting in a chair, and the men around him don't even come up to his knees. It's telling us that this guy was a giant. And so, not just a king, but a giant. So he was one man that he was the first Antichrist, and he's a pattern of this one that's coming. It's the same exact spirit. He wanted to rule the world, and they had one language, and finally God said, enough's enough. I'm going to come at the right time, and I'm going to scatter them through language. Okay? Well, Jesus reversed that, or the Holy Spirit reversed that at the day of Pentecost. And he's been reversing stuff out of the hands of the giants ever since. So these sons of God, including Satan himself, which we're never going to know his name. That's not his name. It's a title. But he fell at some point, and he ended up in the garden. Okay, he got booted out. So that was the first angelic invasion. The second is recorded here in Genesis 6, where angels left their proper domain. God creates, he's a loving God. All of his creatures that he creates have a will. They have a free will. And the angels, I think this is my hunch, is that when they found out we're going to be higher than the angels, they're like, I'm not going to have these mud pies rule over us in eternity. I'm going to fix this myself. And here we are in this mess. So what has happened in the past is going to happen again in the future. And so whether that means additional angels fall, we don't know about all that. But we do know this, that they're already here now. and they've got their mitts on everything. whether it's, and the demons, again, are the disembodied spirits from the flood who roam the earth looking for somebody to possess and harass. And so that's why, and we don't need to be, if we have more authority in our pinky than they have all the power that they ever had. By Jesus Christ, you have the authority to rule and reign over them. They have no say in your life. And you can tell them, be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. And they must leave. They must obey. Because everyone's under that name now. We're all under Christ. And he hasn't come back to set up his kingdom on earth just yet. It's coming, though. And we see all that coming. So we need to be excited about that. I think we could probably just end it here. But the fact of the matter is, if you continue to read on through 2 Thessalonians 2, 9 through 12, it says, the coming of the lawless one is according to all the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth. What truth?
That's an important phrase right there.
The truth that Jesus Christ is the only way, the truth, and the life. Okay, the truth is also the word. Okay, they won't believe, and so God will send them in a strong delusion.
The truth is also Jesus himself.
That's right.
If you refuse to accept the love of Christ, then you're forsaken. You know, that's, and of course, everybody in here I already know, but that's to me, that's the saddest part, is he offers salvation free. And if you refuse to accept the love of the truth, you got nothing. There's nothing else for us.
Well, the scriptures say that it's the only unpardonable sin, the denial of the right. Holy Spirit.
It's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Blasphemy of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And it's for that reason that God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who do not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. You see, there's the trade-off. That's what this is about too, is being able to do what you will without a God poking his nose into your business. That's exactly why Nimrod built the Tower of Babel, was to poke God in the eye and say, we don't want you as our God, we want somebody else. And there's always, whenever there's a vacuum, somebody fills it. Who would that be? All right, so the strong delusion that's coming is that we're not alone in this universe. Well, we never have been.
Yeah.
That's the point. This is news to you. For us, since I've been a Christian for the last, since 88, I've known forever that we've not been alone. And so it's not news to me. It doesn't rock or shake me. I know there's demons, and I know there's fallen angels. And so it shouldn't shake us, guys. We should be bold in our defense of the scriptures. We should see everything that comes through the news feed. Or on a video or a movie, which I want to talk about that too. Again, that movie that Steven Spielberg's putting out, he's doing it June, I think it's 16th, he's putting out the movie Disclosure. Okay, and this movie is meant to do one thing, shake people's faith. Okay, it's meant, people are going to be shaken. And now with Obama spewing that he knows that there's aliens, so to speak, it's kind of forcing Trump to have to come out sooner. So I just heard this the other day, yesterday I think it was, that he may make this announcement in May now, which if he does that in May and tells us we're not alone, and he starts to prove, and he's already made the mandate to start producing for the government to start showing all the information they have on alien aircraft,
right,
and all of that.
Right.
Trump is going to look like a prophet when that movie comes out. Okay? It's going to back up everything that Trump will tell us in May. And he will look like a prophet. I'm not saying he is the false prophet. I'm not saying he's the Antichrist. But he sure is working hard for and preparing the ground for that guy to come. So that's what's coming. So either we're out of here in the next couple of weeks or months.
Weeks?
Or we're going to see some more stuff until we do get out of here.
It's getting exciting.
Yeah. So don't let it shake you. And that's the last verse in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Paul writes, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle." The Bible is your filter. Run everything you hear through that filter. And by the way, in order to be able to do that, you got to know your word. Not just reading it, you must study to show yourself approved. Okay? So you need to be studying your word. I hope you didn't learn anything new. I mean, if you did, raise your hand and we could talk later. Okay? So,
that go verse, ahead. I love that verse because it says, study to show yourself approved unto God.
Yes.
Not unto your wife or your husband, not unto your kids, not unto your friends, not unto the guy at work. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that word is to all of us. And so, that's.
Why don't you close us in prayer?
Oh, Lord, we are just so thankful to be able to come here and have a place to just study your word, to grow in your word, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, that you challenge us in times. So, hope that we will go out into this world, Lord, and be the light that you've called us to. There's so much just distraction, so much destruction, Lord. But we know that we can stand firm because we know who wins in the end.
Amen.
Amen.
We are so thankful for that, Lord. We are on the winning team, and that's just a great feeling, Father God. We love you. We praise you. Pray you'll be with everyone as they go home in this darkness. And we just pray that everyone has a great week and can be here Sunday, Lord. We love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.